Now let's come to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Everyone likes to read the blessings. Everyone wants the good. Deuteronomy 28. Well, we're going to read those, some of them, but let's see that these are the if clauses. Okay. Then we'll look at some of the curses and see where we are today. All right. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Did that happen? Yes. Absolutely. And because they had the word of God, plus the promise to Abraham. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, notice how many times it says to obey the voice of the Lord your God. Isn't that an interesting thing? That's the most important thing. Now, what do we have recorded in the Bible? The words of God, from God to Moses, from God to the prophets, from God to the psalmists, inspiration from God to the apostles. Those are the words of God. It's his voice. And here's what everyone wants. Now, as we go through and read these blessings, I want you to think about your city or your town, or if you live in a country, your country, how about your family, etc. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your livestock, the increase of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Now, all of these things we have had, haven't we? Yes, indeed, in abundance. All came from God. We didn't do it ourselves. God is the one who created it, made this country, and gave it to us. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Well, you know that can't be true today. All you have to do is watch the advertisements for the security companies to protect your home because of thieves and robbers and murderers trying to break in. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. That'd be a good solution for the war in Afghanistan, wouldn't it? Let God handle them. See? They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. What's happening now in Afghanistan? Oh, they have to stand guard over the heroin poppy crop and not fire a shot. And if they fire a shot, they get a medal for restraint. How's that for feminizing an army? The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses and all that you set your hand to do. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. We got here because God sent us here. He shall establish you a holy people to himself as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all of the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Like one ambassador in talking about how America is so much different than any other nation. This is years ago, before today. See, everyone wants the blessings of God, but they want to do whatever they want and reject God and want no consequences. But you see, this is a testimony here. For good and for evil. So the ambassador, he explained why America was so exceptional. Says, because you have God. He is the one who put you here. Now let's understand, if he put us here, he can take us out. Let's go on. And the Lord shall make you abound in goods. Are we abounding in goods? in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. See, it's not because they're righteous. This is conditional if. And the Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall loan to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Did we do that? Yes, indeed. When was the tipping point from a debtor to a creditor nation? No, what year was the tipping point?
1913.
No, no. No, no. Didn't come in 1913. That's not correct. What year was the tipping point? This will shock a lot of people who think, well, Ronald Reagan, he was the champion of conservative values. It was 1982. 1982, when the tipping point changed and we started becoming a creditor nation. And why was that? Not because of Ronald Reagan alone, but because he had a Democrat Congress who had not cut the things that needed to be cut. Yeah, I think they should rename their party for what it really is so everyone understands that. Okay. Now let's read on here. And the Lord shall open to you his good treasure. I read that. Verse 13 now. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. What have we called ourselves? The leading nation in the world. Where would the world be without America today? True statement. True statement. Yes, indeed.
I say for 110 years, America's led production on the world, and next year, China.
Yes. Yes. You shall be above always, and you shall not be beneath if. Notice the condition. You obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today to observe and to do them. Now, why should the Protestant world be surprised that they have kicked God out of the government? Oh, we haven't done that. Yes, you have. Kick God out of the schools. Oh, no, it's the judges. No, it's not. It's you and the Catholics. Why? Because you say you don't have to read the Old Testament. Because you say the laws have been done away. You are responsible. And the politicians are so corrupt, they will change whichever way the wind blows. It's like putting up a windsock. Today, tomorrow, next day, the day after. Well, you see, if you don't read the Old Testament, you don't know the commandments of God. You don't know where you came from. You don't know who you are. And how many times have we heard? We need to understand who we are. That's what Glenn Beck has been saying for the last 2 years. But even he does not understand that we are the descendants of the modern 10 tribes of Israel today. Verse 14, you shall not go aside from any of the words. Now, that's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? Which I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, you can do it right in the midst of what you call Christian, very simply, by changing the law and retaining the title Christian. But you're not, because the New Testament warns of another Jesus and false apostles. And Jesus warned in the Sermon on the Mount. What did he say? Many shall come in my name, saying I'm the Christ, and deceive many. Now, verse 15, no one likes to read past verse 14, but we're going to do it today. And we're going to see some of the things that go on. Now, I want you to read all of it because this is heavy reading. If you feel a little depressed now, well, then when you feel a little more able to handle it, go back and read it, but I'll read some of it today. Verse 15. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command you today, these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now I want to stop right here, and I want to look right into the camera, and I want every Protestant out there to look into the camera and to understand the law is not a curse. Sin is the curse. And you do not have a clue as to what Galatians really means. And you rely on a faulty translation into King James to eliminate the laws of God and make the Apostle Paul the lawless one. And you follow in his steps. And you are at the head of leading this curse. Because this is trickle-down religion and morals to all the people. And when you say there is no law, and when you say the righteous God, the lawgiver, has abolished his laws, you are liars. Oh, but he's such a sweet man. He's still a liar. Oh, he's so dedicated to what he's doing. He's still a liar. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Why do we have such obesity? And why do we have such things as diabetes, cancer, and all of these things? It lies right at the doorstep of the scientists who have engineered and changed the food that people buy and assume is fit to eat. We're cursed. You go into the grocery store and you fill up your cart and you come out and look at it. What do you have? Cursed food, all packaged nicely. If they did just one little thing, eliminate high fructose corn syrup from all food and all beverage, that would help a great deal. Oh, but we wouldn't make profits if we did that. Then change the price and what you do. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Need we say any more? Every way. That doesn't mean with sickness and disease. That means in the way that they live their lives and their lifestyle. And the fruit of your land, the increase of your livestock, the flocks of your sheep, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you're destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. Now Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus was the one who gave these words when he was Lord God of the Old Testament. And he talks about all the sickness. Pestilence, verse 21. Lung disease, fever, inflammation, burning, extreme burning. With a sword and blasting and mildew, verse 22. They shall pursue you until you perish. Going to have change in the weather. Heavens over your head shall become bronze, and the earth that is beneath your feet, iron. Then he's going to make the dust storm. Remember the dust storm, verse 24? The Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust, and it shall come down from heaven upon you until you are destroyed. Didn't that almost destroy the nation during the Great Depression in the 30s? Have you ever seen how that big cloud of dust went clear across from Kansas all the way to Washington, D.C.? And it was only then that Congress understood the magnitude of the problem. Then he said, verse 25, the Lord shall cause you to be stricken before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become abhorrent unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Are we hated by the rest of the world? Is that true? Why do they hate us? Because we've left God. We have left God. Let's come down here to verse 27. The Lord shall strike you with the boils of Egypt. Sound like some of the skin diseases we have today? With hemorrhoids and with the scab and with the itch of which you cannot be healed. The Lord shall strike you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Do we have insanity? Do we have Alzheimer's disease? Have you ever seen a cross-section, a slice of an Alzheimer's brain? Has holes in it because of parasites eating your brain away. You shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. Oh, not true? Nearly everyone's in debt. Let me tell you something. If you're in debt, you're not prosperous. You're living in an illusion, and the day is coming, not too far down the road, and all of it is going to be gone. Now, before we get into the financial things, I've preached for 15 years. What have I said for 15 years? Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Now notice, verse 29 continuing, and you shall always be pressed down and spoiled forever, and no man shall save you. You feel oppressed? Why do we have the government we have today? Because that's God's judgment against us as a people. Now, let's come down here to, I'll let you read all the rest of it. Let's come down here to verse 43. And the stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high. We see that happening? Yes, indeed. And you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. We'll talk about the financial things here in a little bit. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. It's coming. Can't stop it. Oh, let's elect the conservatives in there. Let's have less government. Okay, let's have less government. Let me ask everyone who works in government, who receives benefits from the government, who has retirement from the government, if you want to contribute to helping solve the financial problems in addition to repenting and obeying God, are you willing to cut everything by 50%? Cut your pension by 50%. Cut your benefits by 50%. All of you who work in the bureaucracy, are you willing to have 50% cut in personnel and 50% cut in wages? Oh, that'll never happen. But since you won't, and you're not willing to do that, doesn't matter who you elect in, because the day of interest is coming. I'll just give you a foretaste of what it's going to be. Right now, most of U.S. Treasury bonds are selling with an interest rate of less than 1% and no more than 3%. And if you buy a 10-year Treasury today, you have to pay 105%. And your interest return is 3.49. So in the first year, you have a loss. Now, because of so much debt, lack of taxes coming in, and you can't tax everybody because there's nothing left to tax, and there are so many people unemployed, they have nothing to give or contribute, right? So what are the nations of the world going to say? You've lost your AAA rating. I'll give more details on this in the next sermon. And then instead of the federal government, just the federal government, not talking about any of the states, of all the money that comes into Washington, D.C., it's going to require 40% of all taxes to go to interest payments only when the interest rises from near zero to 6%. And that will happen. It happened in Greece. So the stranger. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. And you will hear me say it over and over again. That of all the legal and illegal aliens we have in America, that is nearly equal to all of the abortions. So every woman who goes out and has an abortion, God sends in an alien. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. He has done it. Why do you think they are so stupefied in Washington, D.C., that they cannot even send the troops down to guard the border in Arizona? Because God has given them the blindness. God has given them the stupidity. God has given them the selfishness and destruction. And they are there for that very purpose, because the people in the land will not turn back to God. Now, every time there's a crisis like this, if we turn back to God, he will hear, he will help. But it's probably going to end up being not a national thing, but an individual thing. So the burden rests with all of us. Okay? Now notice. Notice what else is going to happen here, see? Verse 43, will come down very low. You shall loan to him. He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And all these curses shall come on you, all. So you read all of them and ask the question when you go through, are every one of these things happening today? What is the answer? Yes. And shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because, now notice again the reason, you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be on you for a sign and for a wonder, and on your seed forever. Wherever the children of Israel are, when God made himself known to us through his word and the very founding of this nation, he made it be known. What was the first thing they did when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock? After their torturous and terrible journey. And they were persecuted, a lot of them, out of England by the Church of England, because they wanted to keep the Sabbath. There were a great number of Sabbath keepers that came over here. And they had the Geneva Bible. What was the first thing they did when they stepped on the shore? They got on their knees and thanked God. Whenever things went bad, they prayed to God. Yes, they had to fight the Canaanites to get them out of here, just like they did when they went into the Promised Land and what is called Palestine today. What was the very basis for starting the Constitution of the United States? The Word of God. Where's God today? And even our illustrious illegal president, who will not tell us who he is and define his religion to us, or let any of his records be known, now gives his speeches without any American flags behind him. Wonder why? Maybe it's not because he doesn't want them there. Maybe that's true. Maybe he doesn't want them there. But is that a sign from God? Is that a sign from God that America is soon to be no more the way we know it? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Saying these things doesn't mean I don't love the country. I do, because God gave it to us. But I also see the reasons why it's going down. We all had a similar experience with this. And I remember on the Day of Atonement in 1979, when I resigned from the Worldwide Church of God because of their corruption and their sins. And God inspired me to say that unless there was someone standing in the pulpit in Pasadena today saying, amend your ways and repent to God, the forces will be set in motion which will destroy this church. That's 30 years, this coming atonement. Did it happen? Yes. I was labeled as everything demonic and satanic, but did it happen? Yes, it did. People don't like to hear the words like this. I don't like to read them. But if I don't, God is going to hold me responsible too. So not only is this a message to people in America, this is a message to the churches of God. Not because I'm trying to set myself up as anything great, because I'm not and I'm nothing. Please understand that. But I cannot read the words of God and look out and see what is going on and come in and preach nice, fluffy, fluffy, goody-goody sermons to make you feel good, to go home and continue in your misery. It's not easy. Jeremiah didn't have it easy. And I'm not trying to set myself up as a prophet. I'm just reading the words of God. So this is God's message. It's not mine. These are God's words, not mine. We need to understand that. We are going to face times we have never faced before, because as you will see on the next video that I'm going to do down south, there is coming a worldwide depression that is going to set up a world government. And I can tell you exactly how they're going to do it. And this book, I want you to get this book, Aftershock, Protect Yourself and Profit in the Next Global Financial Meltdown. I'll read you the ISBN number. I'll do it on the other video as well. ISBN number 978-0-470-48156-1. These writers in 2006 predicted the fall in 2008. And they're showing why the fall is going to happen late 2010, 2011, at the latest 2012. Once again, ISBN number 978-0-470-48156-1. Aftershock. Global meltdown is coming. I have too many other scriptures I can't cover all today, so I will cover them when I go down south. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.